Another of our New Testament lessons this morning is from Paul's letter to the church at Corinth. We'll hear chapter 13, verses 1 through 13 of 1 Corinthians. Hear the word of God. If I speak in the tongues of mortals and of angels, but do not have love, I am a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. And if I have prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains, but do not have love, I am nothing. If I give away all my possessions, and if I hand over my body so that I may boast, but do not have love, I gain nothing. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love is not envious or boastful or arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice in wrongdoing, but rejoices in the truth. It bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never ends. But as for prophecies, they will come to an end. As for tongues, they will cease. As for knowledge, it will come to an end. For we know only in part, and we prophesy only in part. But when the complete comes, the partial will come to an end. When I was a child, I spoke like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. When I became an adult, I put an end to childish ways. For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then we will see face to face. Now I know only in part, then I will know fully, even as I have been fully known. And now faith, hope, and love abide, these three. But the greatest of these is love. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let us offer our prayers to God. O Lord of abundant life and giver of every good gift, we come to you praying both for ourselves and for others, praying for your deliverance. Deliver us, we pray, and all your children from those malignant attitudes and actions which lead to death and destruction. Please save us from a trust in money and possessions, from gaining a whole world and losing our souls. Save our community, we pray, from the dis-ease of resentment and revenge. Help us by your divine touch. Teach us to forgive as we are forgiven by you. And save us from permitting physical ailments or impediments to dominate or embitter our souls, or from the lie that a run of good health is just reward for our righteousness. Save us, we pray, from the sorrow of wanting to keep grief alive rather than moving on, from looking for pity instead of healing, the healing and comfort of your spirit. Save, we pray, our nation from panic and fear, from worrying about a multitude of secondary things while neglecting life's necessities. God, we pray, save strong nations from lording it over others, and weaker nations from waiting for some magical political messiah to solve their problems. Save, too, the mass media from idolizing the self-centered people and spurning the weak, from applauding retribution and scoffing at those who are merciful. And save us from the death that stalks those who harshly judge others, from presuming to take the speck of dust out of a neighbor's eye while having a plank in our own. Save us from not finishing well, for slacking off, for that static discipleship which keeps looking backwards like a plowman looking over his shoulder. And save us from petty religion, which avoids the way of the cross, and from refusing to rejoice and be glad on that day when we are persecuted for our faith. God, save your church from becoming like whitewashed tombs, from that fake holiness which draws in upon itself and cuts off the world and its needs. Most loving God, to believe in you is to start living, and to trust you is to have peace to share, and to serve you is to know fulfillment. To suffer for you is to experience a unique happiness. To die with you is to rise into unlimited life. God, by your grace, keep safe and healthy all that we have committed to you, from here to eternity. Through Christ Jesus, our Savior and Lord, we pray. Amen. Our First Testament lesson this morning is from the prophet Jeremiah. We'll hear chapter 1, verses 4 through 10. Hear the word of God. Now the word of the Lord came to me, saying, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. And before you were born, I consecrated you. I appointed you a prophet to the nations." Then I said, "Ah, Lord God, truly I do not know how to speak, for I'm only a boy." But the Lord said to me, "Do not say I'm only a boy, for you shall go to all to whom I send you, and you shall speak whatever I command you. Do not be afraid of them, for I am with you to deliver you, says the Lord." And then the Lord put out his hand and touched my mouth. And the Lord said to me, "Now I have put my words in your mouth. See, today I point you over nations and over kingdoms, to pluck up and pull down, to destroy and to overthrow, to build and to plant." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Last Sunday, we were challenged by God's word to look afresh at the living, tangible, 3D, high-definition motion picture that the Apostle Paul held up for us. He reminded us that the church is like an animated body made from a diversity of necessary parts, with Christ as the head. And God used Paul to remind us that Jesus is Lord, and all members of the body of Christ in the world are equipped and gifted ministers. You are a part of the body because God called you into it, and God arranges us in it as he chooses. So the ministry of the church has a place in it for all of us. And yet, it's not uncommon for many of us, like the prophet Jeremiah, to respond to the call through some numerous and predictable forms of protest. The scriptures are replete with persons of surprising credentials, or more truly, maybe lack of credentials, in their own and in others' estimation. Yet, God calls them. Jeremiah, Isaiah, Moses, they didn't feel up to it. We don't find him jumping up and down saying, "Here I am, God, send me." It was more like, "Here I am, God, send Aaron," right? There always seems to be a propensity for fear and a sense of unworthiness and inability. So it may be no surprise to find that you are among those protesting God's call upon your life. Friend, you're not alone. And I suspect, like Jeremiah, whenever you felt the nudge or the blatant wake-up call, you responded in a similar manner, right? I'm only a kid. I'm only a high school dropout. I'm only a tired old woman. I'm only an office clerk. I'm just a regular guy. Friends, the ministry of the church has a place in it for all of us because God has gifted all of us, young and old, brazen and timid, quiet and boisterous. Remember, right brains and left brains, right? Yep, we're an ambidextrous body, right? And God has called together all his misfits and mess-ups to participate in something life-giving, eternal, and of his making. Now, some of you know me to be a bit of a mystic. I'm enamored by all the ways I experience God, moving, speaking, creating, and I'm grateful for the lengths that God goes to reach us. Some of you know, too, how enthralled I am with the recent advances and growing edges in physics. Now, I'm no scientist, and science wasn't my bailiwick go-to in school. But for some reason, when I didn't have to learn it, I learned to maybe appreciate it more. So I'm intrigued by unconventional thinkers, you know, like a theoretical physicist, surfer and adrenaline junkie Garrett Leasy, whose paper, An Exceptionally Simple Theory of Everything, contends that an eight-dimensional structure with 248 points that he calls E8 arises naturally in all things big and small. Now, I can see many of you are not very excited about that. Then there's the super string theory, right? That seeks to unify the theory of relativity and quantum mechanics. It claims that the lowest common denominator of everything that exists is vibrating strings of energy. And now you compare that to the primitive articulation of how God created by speaking things into creation, and Jesus, right, the Word made flesh, is the one in whom all things consist and hold together. I even came up with my own peculiar observation, noting that, you know, the double helix of DNA and its four base chemicals wonderfully mirrors the two staffs in music. And, you know, the S-A-T-B parts, four parts. So when Disney's Pocahontas sings The Colors of the Wind, I get it. The colors of the light spectrum are distinguished by the frequency of the light. Even the late 19th century hymn writer, Maltby Babcock, echoed the ancients' experience of the cosmos and claimed that all nature sings and round me rings the music of the spheres, right? And I understand, too, why C.S. Lewis, in the Narnia Chronicles, depicted Aslan as singing things into creation. It made sense. Now, a more recent writer, Calvin Miller, in the tradition of C.S. Lewis and J.R.R. Tolkien, retells the life and ministry of Jesus in his trilogy of poetic narratives entitled The Singer, The Song, and The Finale. And it was Miller's work that inspired me to look afresh at the call of Jeremiah in a sort of poetic way. So I want us to suppose for a moment that God is calling Jeremiah to be his prophet, and in calling Jeremiah was asking him to sing the word, to be a bearer of God's song. So imagine for a moment, you hear Jeremiah, it's Yahweh. Jeremiah, I made you. I know you intimately. I know your dreams. I know your thoughts, your every desire. Even before you were a twinkle in your mother's eye, I set you apart for a special purpose, greater than all your dreams. Jeremiah, I have plans for you. I have made you to be the bearer of my song to all people. You will be my singer. And Jeremiah said, oh, no, God, not a singer. You must be mistaken. I can't even hold a note. My voice is weak and is not yet mature enough to even carry a song. Besides, I get nervous in front of crowds. You see, I'm only a kid. And upon hearing the call of God, we have responded in fear. Oh, God, you know, not me. I'm not equipped for this task. I'm too young. I need more time. Maybe after I finish a degree at seminary and have a few years of practice, then I'll be ready to participate. Maybe. And Jeremiah tunes in again. Jeremiah, don't have this view of yourself. Don't say I'm only a kid. If you think you'll be singing solos, you have a reason to be afraid. I'm the lead singer, Jeremiah. If you thought you were going to sing your own songs, then you have a reason to fear. I'm calling you to sing my song, and you will sing it to those whom I send you. Don't be afraid of them, for I will be singing it with you. They will not harm you. As God's good news representatives, we can expect people to take shots at us. But if we go in our own authority and choose to fly solo, so to speak, with our own agenda, then we have every reason to fear crashing. But when we go in God's authority and in the knowledge of his presence, then fear should have no place in the equation. Jeremiah tunes in again. Jeremiah, I am near you, and I have touched your mouth. My song is on your lips. You can sing my song, and my song must be heard. Therefore, I have placed you where people everywhere will hear my song. When you sing my song, it will do two things. One, it will challenge, destroy, and topple the Pied Pipers of the land, and will smash the instruments of deceptive minstrels. And secondly, my song will plant life-giving and creative melodies in the hearts of those who have been robbed of my song. Oh, now that sounds nice. For many of us, the opportunity to participate in the second part of the song's effects, yeah, that sounds quite appealing. We don't mind participating in the building and the planting. in that side of the work. It's the destructive side of the work, the task, that causes many of us to flinch. Whoever said that all aspects of the tasks that God calls us to will be pleasant, or that the people he sends us to are going to welcome us with open arms? Friends, speaking the word of God will often be an unwelcome intrusion upon the current systems and injustices we are commanded to speak against. And as Calvin Miller said in The Singer, it is always much more difficult to sing when the audience has turned its back. In order that God's creative, reconciling, and healing word can be heard, it may be necessary for us to be the bearers of shattering, unpleasant sounds that God will use to break down barriers that plug ears and impede hearing. As much as we may like them to be, not all of our noises will be joyful. Now, God's response is often the same to us as it was to Jeremiah, right? Now, don't go saying, I'm only. Have you forgotten? Have you forgotten who made you? Who are you going to tune into and listen to? The folks who put those, your only thoughts in your mind? Or are you going to tune into and listen to the one who gave you a head? And two ears and a voice. And don't say I can't speak, because I'll give you the words to speak. And don't pull an I'm too scared, because I'm going along with you. And I can handle them all. Like the child who has to stop thinking about crawling before it can walk, we would do well to question and challenge our present assumptions about being the church and ministers of it. Friends, remember those who have gone before us, those who said yes to God's call, even when it appears to seem ludicrous to do so. Friends, we can be grateful for the many who have gone before us who were not only tuned in, but they responded by singing their part of the song. I'm glad that Abraham and Sarah got over their I'm too old attitude. I'm glad Noah kept hammering away to the beat of a different drum when there wasn't a cloud in the sky. And I'm glad that Moses trusted God to be bigger than Pharaoh. And I'm glad Esther accepted her God-given strength in a man's world. And I'm glad Daniel stuck to his guns and refused to sing a song that wasn't the Lord's, despite the inevitable consequences. And I'm glad Peter's pattern of failure and sometimes off-key bluesy singing was an opportunity to learn and experience God's marvelous grace. I'm glad Paul, the religious know-it-all, was open to a key change and was moved to experience God in a whole new way. They remind us that though we may balk at God's call, God's plan for us will be better than anything we can muster, think, or imagine. In my study, I have a book that's entitled, God Still Calls, But Most Leave Their Phone Off the Hook. Right? Friends, God's call may be tough to accept, but it's necessary that we do accept, that we resist the temptation to tune out and stay tuned in. Even if what we hear seems too fantastic and impossible, our call is to be the body of Christ in the world, and Christ is building that body. He said, I will build my church, and God is using it as part of his kingdom building plan. And the prophetic role of the church in our age is to participate in the same kinds of things listed in Jeremiah's call, right? To pluck up and to pull down, to destroy and to overthrow and to build and to plant. Building a kingdom requires some heavy-duty renovating and knocking down the barriers and obstructions that impede love and peace and life. And building and planting environs where love and peace and life flourish. Does this all sound too overwhelming? You don't think we can handle it? Okay. Stay tuned. God's plan for us will be better than anything we can muster, think, or imagine.